Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
And we are still on the road. Today we're looking at the three-seat constituency of Roscommon Galway. There will definitely be some changes here as Dennis Nocton is retiring after 27 years as a TD, and the constituency stretches from Boyle in the north to Ballinasloe and across from Ballyhadrine to Athlone and Clonfad to Rooski. We're joined here in Roscommon Town's Gleeson Hotel by some of the candidates. We have Fine Gael's Aisling Dolan, Fianna Fáil's Martin Daly, Sinn Féin's Claire Curran, Independent Eugene Murphy and Independent Ireland's Michael Fitzmaurice, and you're all very welcome to the programme this evening. We're going to start on the topic of migration, immigration, asylum seeking, all of that. And Aisling, I might come to yourself first, sure. Because there's been a 60% increase in the numbers of people seeking asylum here compared to the same time last year. And we heard your former leader, Leo Varadkar, saying in the last couple of weeks that he thinks what has happened in Ireland is too much, too fast for a small country. Do you agree with him?
Look, there's been such changes for us in the last 5-10 years. I mean, who could have forecast like the wars that we're seeing now in the Ukraine and in Gaza? It's meant the world is a lot more unstable. But what we've seen is Fine Gael and government like looking to make sure that we've answers in place. You know, we need to see, of course, like as Minister McEntee has done, like they've doubled, I suppose, the people processing the applications now in the IPO office. But like that means decisions coming quicker. It means people that are here with merit, of course, that they have, that they're here with merit. But where they're not, that they're being given an invitation to return to their own countries. And that's been very clearly set out. And I think the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, has spoken clearly on that as well, that we need to have, you know, fair and just process in place.
Okay.
And there has to be common sense. And
but the level of immigration isn't too high.
Well, look, I think that the challenges we've seen at a global level has led to immense pressure here in Ireland. I think that we have to ensure at a global level, and that's the Department of Foreign Affairs working hard around democracies around the world. That's one part of it. But here in Ireland, we need to ensure that we have services in place. The challenges I see on the ground are people that literally are looking for services. There aren't enough GPs, we don't have enough teachers, classrooms. Do you know, our schools and small schools have been putting under pressure. And I suppose what I've been seeing is a brand new course for GPs that is going to be rolling out of the University of Galway. That's 48 new graduates next year. Like, I'm delighted to have advocated for that course. That
okay, means you're GPs shaking your head, Martin, areas. Martin Daly.
Look, I think we've got the immigration policy wrong. We were a bit loose. I'm a son of an immigrant. My mother is Indian. She was a GP here for 40 years. We can't conflate the issue of illegal immigration into our country, which we need to keep our economy going. The application for international protection by people coming into the country, they need to be dealt with. It has to be a robust system and it has to be a fair system, because if it's not robust and fair, the public will lose confidence in it. So people who come here, especially if they come from safe countries and don't designated safe countries and don't have the proper documentation, they need to be processed quickly and deported.
Well, actually, yes, saying that's happening now.
Well, it's taken time and we need to learn from this. We were a country of immigration. We're now a country of immigration, and we need to mature into our immigration policy.
Are you happy with the immigration policy that was implemented by the last government, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael?
I'm saying that we were probably too loose.
Even by the end of the term of the government?
I think it has improved, but I think we've got to do better. Fianna Fáil are proposing a Department of Domestic Affairs, and which they will integrate under one department the whole issue of immigration, national security, border control. And I think that's absolutely important, because I do think the system of the Department of Justice and the Department of Children just hasn't worked in terms of immigration. There isn't two. The departments aren't talking to each other. There isn't joined up thinking.
Okay.
And we really need to get this right. Because if we don't have that, the public will lose confidence. And when the public lose confidence in the immigration system, we allow
all
a political vacuum for the extremes.
I'll let you in a second, Aisling. Michael Fitzmaurice.
Yeah, first of all, the way the whole immigration saga has been handled has been a mess. I think if the work to communities right around this country, we've seen in the Ukrainian situation where communities everywhere around this constituency and every constituency in the country were very good people. But what has happened at the moment, this vacuum of information, and any place that has happened in small towns, it isn't right if there's 150 people living in a town that 150 more land without the people knowing everything about it and what's happening.
So what would you do there? Can you explain to me? How do you manage
first
that?
First of all, what the system we have gone with, Sarah, is that private operators are making huge amount of money buying up buildings in rural Ireland where, and look at Mertinid know as well. You don't have a, you have a doctor under pressure. You may not have the school places. On top of that, you don't have the basically wraparound services that's required. And while we keep going down that road, on top of that, we have let people into this country undocumented. And what needs to be done? We have obligations. Let no one say...
And when you say undocumented, you mean they're arriving in, at the airports with no documents.
And we have obligations. Yeah. Okay. But what we need to do is have a 30-day turnaround. Plus, then if they're going through the courts, because they can go to court, we have it dealt with in 6 months for the safe countries. For the unsafe countries, a 60-day process, and then
whatever courts... And what sort of resources do you need in the court system to try and do that?
Well, Sarah, it's as simple as this. Whatever resources we need, I'll give you the answer.
Nothing is as simple as that,
but hold on, Sarah. Sorry,
simple,
let me just finish what I'm saying.
Go on.
The 300 new staff that we've been looking for the last 6 to 7 months, 1 week at what we're paying out at the moment will pay their salaries for the year.
Okay.
Surely to God, that would be efficiency and saving money.
I'll let you briefly, actually, but I want to get the rest.
Briefly, we've seen in 2023 a drop in a third of the people that are coming without documents. There's over 6,000 Garda checks. And in terms of the court service, Fine Gael is bringing in over 40 judges, 24 of which have been put in place.
The Brenning is over the last 2 years.
That means we're modernising the court service.
All right, Michael, thank you. All right,
hold on 1 second, put in place.
Actually, 1 second, I want to bring in Eugene Murphy.
Well, Sarah, I think it's not about how the system is right now. It's what has been created and the mess that's been created. And in particular in the town of Ballardrine, which I've gone into for many, many years, I have a lot of relations there. And simply, this is a fact now, the situation. The town of Ballardrine, which was one of the most welcoming towns in this country. Now, remember, they took in the Syrians when nobody was taking them in. They took in Nigerian women years ago, that women that came battered and bruised from their country, tormented and tortured in the country, and they looked after them. Now, the system, and Martin says, you know, we need to grow up and mature about it. The government needs to grow up and mature about it. And I know I was part of a government party. I constantly argued this in my party. The policy of literally pushing people into Ballardrine and saying, oh, well, we'll put them in there. The people of Ballardrine feel they've lost control of their own town. And it's not the Syrians, and it's not many of the people who have come from Eastern Europe who are working. They're part of the system, they're in schools. But we also have a huge Roma population in the town of Ballardrine.
Yeah.
Nobody knows where they're
from. It's very multicultural, and I understand there's an issue with services, yeah?
And there is.
Okay.
And the doctors in Ballardrine have pleaded with me for 2 years, not send any more medical card patients
to
us.
So you say you're running as an independent in this election, but you are Fianna Fáil, as Martin is also running.
Yeah,
we might deal with that in a second. So you're shouting in your party, you're saying, for the last 5 years no one was listening.
Absolutely. And okay. I actually met with the Taoiseach twice about this, and I warned him what was going to happen in the town of Ballardrine if we didn't deal with the situation.
Okay, I'm going to deal with that in a second. Claire, where does Sinn Féin stand in this? Because I know you were launching a policy document in relation to how you would deal with all of this today. You reiterated that accommodation centres should only be in affluent areas. I wonder, are we going to get an example of suitable affluent areas from Sinn Féin before the election?
Well, I think the whole point of what we're suggesting in terms of one shop for all within this agency, rather than bits here and bits there in terms of various departments, it's actually one under all the agency that we're suggesting. But in terms of like cherry picking areas, the whole point of what we're suggesting is that you look at the data, you look at the areas, you look at what the services are, and that's what this government have failed to do. Ballardrine is my hometown, it's a case in point, and I suppose I have a different perspective because it is my hometown and we've been receiving new arrivals since 2017, and I have repeatedly since 2020 said, when you're putting in new arrivals, look at the services. It's just education and health primarily. What do these communities need, and put in those resources? And that's where the government, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, have failed. So I hope we'll all produce a policy and all produce a plan, because one of the big issues for the last 4 years especially is there has been no plan. This has been an issue now for a number of years and there remains no plan.
Okay.
So we need to plan, we need to communicate with communities, and we need to put in the resources.
Okay, and I want to get back to you on what Sinn Féin is exactly proposing and what we can expect from you. But I just want to come back to yourself, Aisling, and Martin, because everyone, including yourself, Martin, seems to be very critical of what this government has done over the last 5 years when it comes to immigration in this country. Do you accept, Aisling, that the government's record is very poor? Loose, look, says Martin.
Look, what I want to see that we have a government representative here for us, Common Galway. I want to be a voice in Fine Gael for our areas. There is a huge lack of investment in infrastructure.
Did Fine Gael Minister Helen
West.
McEntee in the Department of Justice, did she drop the ball?
Well, what I've seen is that she's put measures in place now. We've seen a drop in a third of people, like I mentioned before, that are coming here that don't have documents. That's down to 6,000 Garda checks. That's down to Garda in airports all across
when
Europe.
When did that happen? What timeline are you talking about?
That was in 2023.
Yeah, before
just consulting
that
my figures. All I can say is that there's been a huge jump in terms of people coming to our country. It's gone from like roughly 15,000-17,000 to jumps to 30,000 and more. We're seeing huge numbers of people that are coming to Ireland, okay. But we need to make sure that we're processing those applications quickly, and that's what Minister McEntee is doing now.
Eugene Murphy's making the point that he was shouting about it, he says, within the Fianna Fáil party and nothing changed. Do you accept Fianna Fáil in government, sitting at the cabinet table, is equally responsible for what you say was a loose immigration system?
Oh, I think we have to learn from what's happened, and I think Fianna Fáil accept that, and I think that we've got to be more sophisticated in terms of how we accommodate international protection seekers. This idea that we can be taking over hotels and taking over community centres and nursing homes and using that, we shouldn't be relying on private operators, and I have to agree with Michael on that. We cannot be relying on private operators. We have to build our own capacity up in terms of state-owned properties.
So 5 years wasted then?
Yeah, I think we are a country that hadn't a mature policy with regards to immigration. I think we were a country that almost got caught by surprise in the last 5-6 years. And the number of international protection seekers were looked... But I have to say, some measures were brought in terms of the safe country, 68% down now on the people who are coming from safe countries.
That was a Fianna Fáil suggestion, actually, wasn't it?
So, you know.
That was a Fianna Fáil suggestion.
We've also seen that there's been digitalisation. Like, you look at all the applications now that are coming in international protection, they've digitalised that whole service. That means quicker application times, quicker response times. That's what literally Fianna Gael government is
doing. Michael's saying it's not fast enough.
Off Mike Fitzmaurice. Processing applications in 60 days. Let's face it, we're 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And this isn't good for the person that's being processed or for the country.
Michael,
that's what we must realise.
And Michael, I suppose that's where we're trying to put processes in.
Yeah, I understand that
we've spent those nearly three times.
The problem,
I want to go back to Ballantrae. We don't have a full-time Garda station.
Okay, I'll stop you there, Eugene, because I want to get on to crime in a moment. I will come to you on that. I want to come back to Claire for a second, and I still haven't got an answer as to whether or not we're going to get the examples of where
it's
okay.
I've given you an answer. We're not. That takes away the whole purpose. Like, you need a department to go in and say, right, let's not pick areas where there's Jesh schools, for example. There's no point in pulling names out of the air.
So what
the
is the criteria?
Idea is you look at the data. Well, affluent areas, so areas that have services that don't have of Jesh schools, for example, but you have to look at the data that's there within the department.
Can I just say that's a purely ideological position from Sinn Féin? I've never heard such rubbish in my life.
Well, where's your plan?
Purely ideological. I've laid out the Fianna Fáil plan, a new Department of Domestic Affairs to put everything under one roof, to integrate the services both in national security and in immigration, and also to move away from using privately owned buildings into a state-owned building.
Point. We'll
but I have to say, what's an affluent area? I'd like to know what does he
mean. Well, I suppose affluent areas, just as an example, Claire, you immediately think of leafy Dublin. South Dublin.
Yeah,
you do. Okay.
But Sarah,
is that the sort of...
Purely ideological.
One second, please, Ashley.
Purely ideological.
1 second, Martin, please, because I'd just like clarity on this. Is that what you're thinking of when you talk about affluent areas?
Absolutely.
So what about those places in leafy South Dublin where people can't get into schools? You know, there are those problems there, or people can't get onto a GP list in leafy South Dublin. You know, I mean, there might be a lot of money around for people living in their homes.
Yes,
but they have some of the same problems with services.
Yeah, but then what about the areas like Ballantrae, where you have no GPs, you have no jobs, you have no infrastructure, you don't have the services.
They're under
huge pressure. So it's about choices. Yeah. And I would much prefer that we don't decide where we're putting people based on who puts their hand up and say, oh, I have a hotel and I'll make loads of money on the back of this. I couldn't care less about the community. That's how the decisions have been made for now. It's a free for all. Whoever offers a hotel or a room are the ones that are being
taken. So if you do look at an area, we'll say, and again, we'll choose leafy South Dublin, for all our Dublin listeners, South Dublin listeners. But if we just take that as an example, because I know lots of people living in that area who can't get their kids into schools.
Well, then you put in the resources, and that's the whole point. Like, but I'm not sure what you mean. Like, you either pick your leafy
you
Dublin or you pick towns like Ballantrae. Yeah, but Martin.
But it should have been done.
Yeah, but your government has failed. Your party
and I'm saying we need to learn.
Everyone
I'm saying we need to learn.
No.
I think the people in Ballantrae were abandoned, and I would say that.
All right.
Can I just say one thing?
No, nobody can say anything for 1 second. I just want to make the point that no one at home can hear you if you all talk over each other. And I will make sure that you all get plenty of time. Michael, yes.
Yeah, the reality of it is, with the amount of people that are coming in, if we don't process this inside 6 months, we are in for a tsunami of more spaces required, more towns and more private operators going right around the country. They are like vultures at the moment going into small towns looking for whatever they can get.
Okay.
And it's the one thing we need to do is process the application at a rapid speed and either you're in or out. And the other thing, Sarah, we cannot have like we have today. If you look at the stats, it's 1,680 people. We know that 680 have left. We don't know whether 1,000 people that are supposed to be deported or leave the country have gone. So we have a system here that we need to bring in. If you're being deported, you are being deported. There's no second choice.
Just briefly, folks, because I have to take a break. Aisling and then Eugene, and then I'm taking
quickly,
a break.
DESH schools are mentioned. Over one third of schools in our country now are receiving some sort of support through DESH. And as Michael said, we are speeding things up. Like I said, over threefold speeding up of decisions happening now. Literally, the online application process is happening now.
And you've made that point. And Balladreen, do you want to make a great point?
Yeah, because, look, everybody's talking about Balladreen now, and I was trying to stand over this about 2 years ago. There was very little talk about it. But I'm being told by very credible people in the town of Balladreen that there are people coming in illegally yet, are 12 and 14 people in houses down there.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Our panel is staying with this, and we're going to be talking about rural crime after this break.
Email drivetime@rte.ie.
Now, our panel is still with us. We have Fine Gael's Aisling Dolan, Fianna Fáil's Martin Daly, Sinn Féin's Claire Curran, Independent Eugene Murphy and Independent Ireland's Michael Fitzmaurice. And I want to move on to the issue of rural crime because I know it's a big issue here and across the country indeed. John Cook speaking to some people in both Roscommon and East Galway a little earlier on. And one of the things he was talking about, Claire Curran, is a 55% increase in burglaries. People, he said, you know, really living in fear.
Yeah, it's a major issue. And really, we've had consistent burglaries since last December. I remember in January, I'd arranged a meeting with the community and Gardaí, and it was great because in a lot of rural towns and villages now, we don't actually know our local Gardaí anymore. Not the fault of the Gardaí, but just in a lot of cases, they're not there. For example, Balladreen, we're told there's 4 Gardaí and a sergeant in the station, but they're not actually there because our Gardaí district is so big, it's actually too big, and that needs to be reviewed as well. But we don't see Gardaí on the beat. They're not visible, and that's a major issue.
So what is Sinn Féin's solution here?
Yeah, I've been raising this issue since January consistently. What I've asked the Garda Commissioner, because he's the one that allocates resources, is to review that Garda district, number one, and two, to develop and publish a Garda policing plan, a Garda rural plan, similar to what we have for some of our cities. We need a proper and specific plan. Number one, in areas where Garda stations have closed, and number two, where Garda numbers are down. We had 171 Gardaí in County Roscommon pre-COVID. We have 146 now. There are other issues in terms of Garda transfers for Gardaí that are there now. Again, an issue I've raised consistently. But I would really like to see a rural plan
a policing
for
plan.
Our areas.
What about increasing the number of Gardaí?
Oh yeah, we need to do that as well. But
so
again, I believe if we don't...
That because we're told by Fine Gael, who I'll go to in a second, that they have been doing everything they can to increase the number of Gardaí. It's not working.
Yeah, we need a second Gardaí college. That's something we want to look at in government for sure. But in terms of the Gardaí we have, many of them are having difficulty in trying to come home. I've been dealing with a number of them in Roscommon and Galway. They're stationed up in Cavan, Monaghan. They're on transfer lists for 2-3 years. They want to come home. They're renting in Monaghan. They want to build a house in Roscommon. There's major issues in terms of the Gardaí we have. And we've actually lost good Gardaí. I've met Gardaí who have left the force. So, I mean, we can't afford to do that either, but we need to see our Gardaí on the beat. It's not just numbers. We have X amount in whatever station. We need to see them, and that's the nub of the issue.
John Cook, some of the people he's talking to, say people are taking turns to go to Mass. That's how bad it is.
I was at that public meeting in Glensk. I got to hear those people as well. And, you know, it's just when you hear these stories, you realise that we do need, we need to have change. And, like, that's something that I want to fight for within Fine Gael.
Change of parties?
No, that we need to have change in terms of how we provide support on the ground. So what I've seen, I went and I sat down with a business in Tulsk, for example. It was burgled twice. We're not seeing. So guards have to travel like half an hour, 30, 40 minutes response time.
Fine Gael Justice Minister.
Yes, but what we are seeing now is how we're bringing more guards on the beat. As has been mentioned here, we need to see more guards on the ground. We've raised the eligibility age now up to the age of 50. People can decide to take up a career in Gardaí.
Suggestion?
And €350 more in terms of the training lines for guards as well. So those are two measures that have been put in place now about how we increase Gardaí.
It hasn't worked, though. The number of Gardaí in the country right now from the beginning of this year to the end of this year is pretty much static.
Yeah, but I suppose what we're looking at in Fine Gael and with Minister McEntee is about how we're focusing the guard the time on the ground, the beat on the ground. So say, for example, a guard could spend a day in court like a year, 2 years ago. Like we're seeing now over 130 of our courtrooms that are technology enabled, which means that's a video call. It's remote conferencing in. Okay. Those are measures where we're going to have guards on the ground.
Okay.
We need to increase recruitment.
I'm shaking my head again. Look, I'm not going to go into the personal stories. I'm a GP. I have elderly people coming into my surgery all the time. As you're right, living in fear on the canvas trail, we see how vulnerable households are out in the country. We've been at this now for nearly 5 weeks. We have a capacity issue. We don't have enough guards. Fianna Fáil are promising 5,000 net increase in guards over the next 4 years. How do we do that? We're going to have to improve the terms and conditions for Gardaí.
Pay them more.
Pay them more and increase their allowances. And we also need to raise the status of Gardaí training so it is an attractive profession to go into. So it may take graduate entry programmes. We have lowered the entry requirements in terms of people retiring and that. The other thing, I've spoken to Gardaí, I've spoken to GRA, and they're saying the attempt to create a civilian administrative system within the Gardaí hasn't worked. It's actually tied up guards. It's been also counterproductive. Mm. So instead of increasing frontline time for the Gardaí, they are tied up signing off on documents because no fault of the civilian people working in the Gardaí, they're not empowered to sign off on documents.
Okay. We're also proposing if you pay the guards more, do you have to pay the nurses more and the teachers more?
We'll have to look at this around. We need a police force. We need Gardaí in our rural areas.
These are the complications.
They're the complications of government. That's what people have to do is make decisions.
I just want clarity then on Fianna Fáil's suggestion. If you pay the guards more, have you looked into the potential knock-on effects of that when it comes to the rest of the
public
service?
I think we're going to have to make the career attractive in a country of full employment. And if we don't, what are we going to throw our hands in the air and forget about it? We can't do that. We also need, in this part of the world, in Roscommon, we've got about four main highways into Roscommon and Ballinasloe. It's not beyond the imagination to police those with patrol cars. I've been told there are not enough patrol cars. We need better national intelligence and better local intelligence. And we need to beef up our reserve Gardaí. We've only 350 in it, and we're looking to increase that up to 3,000.
So 5,000 extra Gardaí is what you're talking about. Would it actually get us to what the Gardaí Commissioner says we need, knocking on 20,000?
We need 20,000.
Yeah, and we're very far away from that, aren't we? Michael Fitzmaurice, what do you have to say about this?
First of all, I think we need to be honest with people. We need an awful lot more than 5,000. Because I agree with the figure that we need to go up to 20,000, but there's a tsunami of Gardaí going to be leaving over the next 5 years. If you go back the number of years that they have to serve in the force, we have a tsunami coming over the next 5 years. I think we'll actually have to take on an awful lot more. Second of all, I think we need to, on frontline workers, and I'm dealing with all frontline workers, for frontline workers to be able to afford to live at the moment, we need to give the equivalent of the likes of a HAP, and we've done it out for the Gardaí. It costs 34 million per year. It's €600 per month of a payment for basically accommodation. On top of that,
outside of Dublin, everywhere,
regardless of where
you are.
It's
basically a pay increase, really.
It's a subsidisation of accommodation. That's what it is, because they have to get that. On top of that, I don't think we need a second college. I think we have systems at the moment. We are online. We should be able to do like an apprenticeship training of Gardaí rather than the
online.
But we should be able to do an apprenticeship training that you do work with the guard, then do and all their stuff doesn't have to be above in Templemore. Right. How's the when the college was closed? You know, nothing went on.
That's part of the problem was when the college was closed, we couldn't recruit the Gardaí.
We have to rethink of what we're doing. On top of that,
talked to anyone within Angarda Síochána about how feasible this is possible.
On top of that,
when
Gardaí are being, when they're trained fully, we seem to love to send the one from the west to Dublin and the dub down to the west. Why isn't there a bit of thinking that in a region we would put those guards back? On top of that, one of the greatest, it's not simplistic.
Is it not?
It's actually a bit of common sense.
Okay.
On top of that, we have Garda stations at the moment that have to drive up the town to plug in where there's a mart in Castlereagh, to plug in to charge their car. And we have these electric cars at the moment where we know in this around this area, a car actually ran out of juice when caught a car. For God's sake.
They could have caught criminal, electric, is it?
Yes. Right. For God's sake, we need to cop on and use common sense ideas. A diesel car is the only thing that works.
So no electric cars or more electric chargers?
In Dublin, use the electric cars. But when you're following criminals out in rural Ireland, you can go for miles. And I called a few months ago, Sarah, that the west of Ireland, you can protect it pretty easily. As has been outlined earlier, there's five or six bridges that they have to cross that where they're coming for.
Okay.
It is well known.
Okay,
and
Eugene,
we should up the resources.
Eugene Murphy. And
so let's be clear here now. The whole situation in relation to rural policing is completely been lost. The present commissioner, Commissioner Harris, is completely out of touch. And I think he has, with all due respect, the man, he's allowed a situation to develop where the force have lost their sense of responsibility themselves. I met two guardies the night and Saturday in my own hometown in Strokestown. Just to explain to you, they were just circling around the area. They'd come from Castlereagh. There was two guardies on for the night. They had go right to the Longford border in Tarman Barry, I don't know whether you know that area, that go right down to Rigna, another 40 minutes of a drive. They were too Gardaí. Now, here's my point. In the past, Sarah, in the past, Longford Gardaí would come out to that village, Tarman Barry, 6 minutes out. Now, Gardaí from Castle Reef, 45 minutes down the road, have to come and service the thing. The
same in you were a government TD for the last 5 years.
Yes, Sarah, and I argued all of those points. I constantly talked about it. I publicly spoke about it myself. The rural policing plan to stay does not work at the moment. The Gardaí themselves know it doesn't work. And by the way,
so what's the solution?
There are solutions, and one thing I did fight for. We absolutely, whatever government is in place now, need to go out into communities, and we need to build a reserve Gardaí force in this country. Okay. There are Gardaí's time is taken up with funerals, festivals. If you had a reserve police force, they could do all this. We could have all our Gardaí stations opened. Okay, they don't have the powers to arrest or whatever, but we need to build a reserve Gardaí force of 3,000 people. And there are lots of people who have taken early retirement from many sectors.
And do you agree that they need to be paid more? Paid more?
Absolutely. I think we have to make, and there is a point being made by Michael and Claire, that one of the things that at the moment, if Gardaí were allowed to serve closer to their area rather than have to travel,
you mightn't have to pay them more.
That. I said we needed to beef up the reserve because one of the things we've lost is we've lost the community guard. And if you have a built-up reserve of people who live in their communities, then you've built up local intelligence. And I think that that's absolutely critical.
I'd like to get clarity on the payment issue. Just 1 second, Michael. Is Fine Gael proposing to pay Gardaí more?
Well, I know I can confirm that we're looking at the training allowance and that has been increased. So that's roughly about 350 in budget 2025. So they are looking at making it more attractive. But what I would say,
I don't think the guards were too happy with that, were they, when that was announced?
But what I would pay tribute to in terms of the guards is that example I gave you about Tusk. That was an organised gang from Dublin. They were arrested. They were charged. There's also another three that have been arrested in Roscommon, responsible for over 29 burglaries around the West.
How many guards do you think we need?
Well, like currently we've been looking at in Templemore is you're having nearly three rounds of Gardaí going through every session.
Yeah, so
we need to see that increased.
Fianna Fáil is saying 5,000. Does Fine Gael have a number yet?
Net
5,000. That includes retirements and resignations. Yes, exactly.
We need to see increase in thousands here because what we're looking at here is a challenge, but we have to be realistic. We have to make sure it's attractive.
But you're not promising any pay increases to get that number increased.
I think we're going to be looking at how we need to make sure that we have enough Gardaí on the beat. We're trying to look at streamlining. One other thing I'd say about technology, and great to hear Michael embracing the online side, is that we also have automatic plate recognition and body-worn cameras. These are ways to support
Gardaí. Okay, I want to hear
Gardaí
from Claire, because we haven't heard from you in a while. Is there a number from Sinn Féin in relation to this? How many Gardaí we need and how are you going to get them?
I think it's the 5,000 figure, but again, in terms of how we're going to keep them, when I meet Gardaí, the number one issue they raise with me isn't necessarily pay. We're talking about Gardaí that are stationed a really long way from home. They want to come back, they want to work. Okay. And I've said to the Commissioner many times, it's not about working within your community, but say to Gardaí, you go an hour from home, you're stationed away for 2 years, and then you have an opportunity to come back. Yeah. We are losing good Gardaí because we don't have a proper system in place for transfers. Okay. We have 167 Gardaí coming out of Templemore now in early December. And I've also said to the Gardaí Commissioner, we need to see a good chunk of those Gardaí coming west.
Sinn Féin's not
because our numbers are down.
Pay increases either for Gardaí, is that clear?
Not at the moment. No.
Okay. I want to ask you, Claire Curran, I want to move on very briefly. You have about 5 minutes left, folks, and I want to talk about climate and agriculture, always linked, but particularly the nitrates derogation. Quite a lot of talk about that today. The Social Democrats accusing Fianna Fáil of giving farmers... Actually, Martin, I might come to you on this first, because the Social Democrats are accusing Fianna Fáil of giving farmers false hope by pledging to fight for the retention of the nitrates derogation. Are they?
Well, I don't think they're giving false hope. They're going to fight for farmers, and they fought for farmers to get derogation of the nitrate directive. We have a different type of farming here. Our dairy herd is grass-fed. It's fed out, not intensified. So we can seek derogation on that basis, on the type of agriculture that we're carrying out, the type of feeding that we have our dairy herd doing. But that has to be also linked with environmental measures around farming to make sure that our waterways are clear. We can't simply just look for a derogation and not look after our waterways. And that will mean increased verification and increased monitoring of waterways around dairy farms.
Okay, Eugene?
Well, look, I think there's too much of a finger of blame being pointed at farmers all along at this. So in the county that you're in, you're really talking about small to medium farmers. They are not major polluters. Yeah. Let's be honest here, and no disrespect to the bigger farmers down the southeast. That's where the main pollution problem is coming from. I know many farmers around here, as the panel will know, who have taken several measures in relation to new environmental schemes. And by the way, the acre scheme, which has difficulties, there's no doubt about that, it needs to be changed. I mean, so many farmers are willing to work in that scheme.
But
now, they're very short-term.
there to what the Social Democrats are saying, which is that the nitrates derogation, the days of the nitrates derogation are numbered, and farmers would be much better off if government parties or Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael acknowledged that and started working with farmers on alternatives.
Well, I think that's way too soon to be saying that at the moment. We just can't push that in on farmers. There needs to be steps to be taken. Many farmers are actually now doing environmentally friendly schemes to change that. You just can't expect farmers to just change this overnight. Okay. It doesn't happen that way.
Claire, because that is what Martin Kenny said, isn't it, that the nitrates derogation is numbered?
Well, I think the fact that we have to keep going back for the derogation every few years, and we might get it, we might not. Like, remember the last time this was done a couple of months ago? I mean, there was so much uncertainty. And for younger farmers coming in, particularly on dairy farms, because it is really expensive to run a dairy farm, they do need that level of certainty. But it is going to take time to move it along. And I also think the measures farmers have taken in terms of water quality, we're not given the time to actually see the consequences of those actions. So we need to engage with the farmers carefully on that. But you are in an area here which is primarily beef, suckler, sheep farmers. Okay. Dairy will be small.
Ashling, Simon Harris talking about setting up a cabinet committee on water quality. That's not going to butter any parsnips, really, is it?
Well, look at it. I've been at the Marts and Roscommon and Bannisloe. I've talked to young farmers. Like, farmers are leading the way here, Sarah. We'd see low emission slurry spreading, for example. I've been at Chagas briefings in Moore. Like, we are driving and leading the way. There's also, like, so many companies. There's a Roscommon company, Farmite, that literally do soil sampling. Okay. These are all measures and ways that farmers are leading the way to make sure that we are going to meet those targets around better water quality. But we also need our local authorities. And like investment in like wastewater treatment.
Okay, we're out of time. I do want to ask you very... Michael, go on. You've got 10 seconds. Go on. We're out of time. Go on.
You sound like Eugene Murphy.
No, but, look, at least I get one few words. In agriculture...
No, 10 seconds. Nobody interrupt him. He has no time to talk.
In agriculture, first of all, we need to fight for the derogation. I'll tell you why. Because if the derogation is lost, we'll have tillage people, suckler people and all of that. One thing that the farmers of this constituency needs to know, that last week on Clareburn, Minister Hayden stated very clearly that in his view, the farmer would be in the south and in the east. And as I said back to him, Cromwell said to Heller to Connacht, Martin Hayden says go south or east.
No,
thing that we need to do is protect the suckler herd, the sheep, because we come from a more marginal land.
All right, Michael, that's way more than your 10 seconds. All right, folks, we have to leave it there. Eugene, I was going to ask you, are you sad not to be running for Fianna Fáil?
Well, look, it's been a long history in that party. I have many, many friends. Many of them are with me. It was a huge, difficult decision to take. I'm glad I made the decision now, because I just felt that Roscommon was being left out. 82% of the voting public in this particular constituency are in Roscommon, 18 are in Galway. And we're outnumbered
we'll
here by Galway candidates,
3-2,
but they're good candidates.
I appreciate you coming in here to speak to us. All right, the rowdy, you can keep the rowdiness till we're finished. Folks, if you don't mind, I've been joined here this evening. Folks, I've been joined here this evening by Ashling Dolan, Martin Daly, Claire Curran, Eugene Murphy and Michael Fitzmaurice, and a list of declared candidates. All the lists are included in constituency profiles on the RTE News website. You'll find them at rte.ie/constituencies.